Well, I'm Jim Myden of Lower Owlert. I was born on 15th of May 1941. I lived here all my life, next to the old storytelling house. And I remember a lot of old things that happened around. Nothing bad or anything like that, you know. We used to play cards of a Saturday night for a halfpenny with a whole lot of other older people. And this was the village of Lower Owlert as well, of course. And the fairs were always held here. And it was a public house, and my house then was the shop, groceries. And then Paddy Sutton's next door was a public house. And then there was a shop up the road, Mike Kirk's. And this was the main Coach Road out here before the Wexford Goy Road was built, something like 1830. And there was a lot of houses around, but they're all gone now.
Jim, you've surprised me, because when I was coming here today, I drove what I thought, through what I thought was the village of Owlert. It's not really, is it?
No, that's Kyle, up there.
It's called Owlert.
It's called Owlert, they took the name. And even on the headstones above in Owlert, the old cemetery, where there's people buried, just Owlert. But now they had to classify as Lower Owlert. You see, and there's people then living around here that they're not living, they're actually living in Kyle or Mullaghmullen, but that's actually in Owlert. There's 410 acres in the parish of Owlert, in the Owlert village.
So years ago that didn't exist there. This, that, where that, we are now, was the village of Owlert.
The village of Owlert, yeah.
And so the main Coach Road came from here?
The main Coach Road come here from Wexford. And they come in to Gabies Crosses. And there was a house over there, I think, where they used to change the horses. The horses would bring the post so far. Then they come on here and pick up the post here. And they've gone on then to Rahing Duff and on out that way. That was the main Dublin road that day.
So it was the main road to Dublin?
Dublin.
And as you said, there was a whole village, living around here.
Yeah, there's about 12 or 14 houses gone out, even in my time.
And I suppose before we get back to your memories of your young days, we have to talk about the fact that we're recording this conversation in what is a story house now. It's an original house of the village.
As the original house of the village, going back several hundred years, as whenever the village was made, whenever the landlords were starting to make villages or whatever, before anything, you know, this was a very old village.
So this is the genuine Thatch Cottage?
The genuine Thatch Cottage. And you can see the walls for yourself. And tell his own story.
They are, they're thick and they've got slopes on them. And
yes, glad to have.
And we're sitting beside a blazing log fire with the smoke going up the chimney. And it's a big open fireplace with the crane with all the hooks on it for all the cooking implements.
Right. That's right.
So this is what people would have cooked in and lived in.
Cooked and lived in. And just had to get the sticks away the light. To bring in a few sticks for the morning for the while, and gather them then for to do the dinners. Then the fire would be kind of let out, because there was no chainsaws or anything that time.
There's a flagstone floor here now. Would that have been there originally?
No, there was only a clay floor in it. There was a cement floor in it when we started doing. Hopefully we took out the cement floor and put in the flag floor in it.
To make it look more authentic, yeah.
And there was two rooms across there. There was a partition across there and two bedrooms down there.
Yeah, because this has been turned into one big room. Which would be unusual for these.
It would be.
So this space, even though it's not a huge room, would have been three rooms originally.
Well, this was the kitchen.
Yeah, and there were two bedrooms.
And then there was two bedrooms down there. So it was surprising what people lived in long ago.
Can you remember the names of the families who had lived here?
Paddy Mygan and Mary Mygan. And then his father died in 63, and he was 97 when he died. Luke Mygan.
They were relations of yours?
We all relations. My father, first cousin, second cousins. Our Luke's father and my father's grandfather, they were brothers. And there were several of them around. There were a lot of Mygans lived around here. So there were.
But then you were lucky enough to manage to get the college when it came up for sale. Otherwise it might have been gone out.
It had been levelled. It would have been levelled if somebody else had got it.
All the other houses in the village.
Yeah, because there was so much thatch on the roof, as it was nearly coming in, the sticks was all rotten in it. woodworm, do you know.
And why did you decide to preserve this cottage?
Well, the 98, it was here, along here anyway, and the 98 committee, then they asked me that about what restored it for the 98. Because I said, I don't mind, but I'll still own it. You can restore it if you like, but I won't be selling it either, you see.
All right, so it was because of the 98 commemorations.
Because of the 98 commemorations, that was restored. They say, rather than that, we'd probably put a bit of iron on it.
Yeah.
And turned it into an old house somewhere or another, you know.
And at that time, did you think it was going to turn into a storytelling house?
I didn't, the least of my thoughts. Because then I started doing the storytelling there, I think it was in 2000. We started the storytelling in it. And we didn't think that was going to take off to what it did.
So you have storytelling sessions here now, how often?
Yeah, once a month. The second month of every month.
And how many people would be packed in here, maybe?
Well, it could be up to 40.
Bit of a squeeze, you know, at time.
Bit of a squeeze, be overpacked, so we generally give them a drink first, and give them a cup of tea then, and the brown bread and scones Mary Sutton makes them for us.
And I'd say there's great crack.
Would be a good crack. There'd be four or five or six musicians come here. So and then they'd be telling stories and all that at the same time. And sing a song or whatever.
And would this remind you in a way of what used to happen in the village years ago when you
it
were
would
a child?
Be, yeah. Well, they even used to be... I barely can remember it now, and they used to be bowling out here. Have a ball. Have a ball here.
You have the bowling ball itself.
That was there. And I found three of them at the back of it. They used to call it the alley out there.
So if it, oh God, that is a solid lump of metal.
Metal, yeah. And I think it's a 28-ounce metal ball, round ball that they used to play with.
How do you bowl with that?
You'd have to swing it. And with the turn in the road.
So this is along the road? You go
along the road. Along the road. And sometimes the ball, well, it went down at the back of the wall, you see. That's how I found them down there.
I tell you what, you wouldn't want to get hit with one of those, would you?
You would not.
It's a solid lump of metal.
You'd want to have a good muscle too for it.
Wouldn't you? Because they
surely would.
The fellas would be... And usually, when I've seen, obviously, film of it, they do an underarm a lot of them, isn't it?
They do, yeah. Well, they kind of swing it. And they go on underarm, you know.
To get the speed on it.
Before they get the speed on, you see. They must swing the arm so many times, you know. And get a good swing on, and then you see that they're able to... they have to bowl on it with a turn in the road, and see who'll bowl it the farthest then after that.
But this sport would have been around a long time. Would this have been played on dirt roads before?
That was only a dirt road out there, and I go in school.
Yeah.
So it was.
I'd say it knocks sparks out of the roads these days.
Just look at the lumps. Feel.
I tell you one thing, that is a very, very solid piece of equipment. Going back to what this village was like then, Jim, when you were a child, there was a hub of activity then. It was like a typical village, there was a square and all, was there?
Oh, there was a square, where the square is there now, so that was the pound. And coming into the shop then, you see that our house there, that light took it down back in 1960, or about 65, we took it down because it was only of stone and iron, and it was fallen, you know. And we took down the shop, then I rebuilt onto the back of the old house. And that was the shop, so the pavement, the paving stones are still going up to the shop door out there.
Well, you were born just next door to where we are at the moment. What was life like for a child in Owlert Village, the real Owlert Village then?
Well, the real Owlert Village that time, well, there was horseshoes and they were all hurling that time, you know, and playing horseshoes and things like that. But then every young lad then had to work in it. You know, it were either off school or a thing like that, that they'd go off tin turnips. And then that would come along, then that before the 1st of September, the blackberries would be all in, then to August 1st of September, and they got an extra fortnight from school in September to pick the blackberries, do you see? And there was a man named Nick Morton, then he used to buy the blackberries.
So they actually, you got a fortnight off school just to pick blackberries?
Just to pick blackberries.
And make a bit of money.
And they would make a bit of money for the white clothes. That's, you know.
So the whole community would be out picking blackberries?
Everybody would be out picking blackberries, but the land that time, you see, there was bogs, and there was big old briars, and there was plenty of blackberries then on the old briars. There were old laneways and things like that. And you knew where to go for the blackberries.
So everyone had their own patch.
Well, you pick them wherever you liked, there was no one. Yeah. What you didn't mind, you could go into anybody's field that time and you pick away, there's no one would say anything to you.
So that was the first 2 weeks of school. So did, but what was school like for you?
Well, sure, we had to walk to school, and I used to serve mass and go up to it. And mass that time was 7:30 in the morning, and you'd be up there winter's morning, and there was 9 or 10 of us, and each would get our own week to do. And the winter's morning, you'd have to walk up to Ullert, up to mass, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Maybe give Father Grady a bit of a buzz then for say mass, and say, and open the chapel door then, and that you'd ring the bell.
Yeah, because the church is, it was quite a bit of a walk from the village then.
Oh, it is, yeah. It is, yeah. Now, it's about a good half mile or 3/4 mile from here to the chapel.
And at that time, was the church standing on its own, or was there anything else around it?
No, the church was standing on its own.
Yeah, so there wasn't there was, yeah.
No, there wasn't much around at that time, you know.
And that must have been, I mean, those times were interesting because... you talked about blackberries, so you had long hot summers.
There was long hot summers, and you throw off the coat, and that's, you didn't see the coat anymore for a long time. And then you're at the hay then as well, you see. And then the harvest time come in, then that you're out and you're stuck in corn or drawing in the sheaves for to make the stacks, and there'd be plenty of thistles in them too. And your arms would be honest, all product with the thistles and the threshings then as well, you know.
Big sessions at the threshing.
The big sessions at the threshing could be anywhere between 25 and 30 neighbours to turn up then for a threshing. So it was.
The village itself then, at what stage did it begin to change? Because you would have remembered being in the village and then the road changed, was it?
And the road was changed in the 1830, along that time.
Yeah.
They say when the Wexford Goy Road was built, well, then the village was started above them where Coney's is now, you know, and Roaches, that was built that time, you know. And they start going up there then, they see. Well, the people then that were emigrated out here to it all left, and they went to England and went to America and all over the world, you know. And there was small bits of land then, and various one of bought up bits of land, a field or two.
Have you spent all your life here?
Well, I was 4 years in England, all right. You know, I went to England in 59.
Like everybody else did.
Come home in 63. My father died in 61, so I had to come home then. There was a big family that was in it, like, you know.
And did you go to England for work, was it?
Oh, for work, yeah. And I was working in England that time. I was 4.5 nights a week in 63. Or in 62, for £18.10.
£18.10. That was quite good money, wasn't it?
It was good money that time, you know, but that was nights.
Yeah.
So 4.5 nights. That time, you know.
Yeah.
So when I left here, I was walking above the Roaches, and I walked in the folly before up to 16, and I was getting 10 shillings a week. I walked the Roaches then, and I got 2.50 a week there. So I did. So I left that and went to England, and I heard an awful lot better there for a long time. It was only getting, I think it was getting £9 when I started in it. You know, you work from various jobs. If you're on a day job, it's around £9 or there. But when you went on nights, it's a 12-hour shift or 13. So it's right through.
There's a great crackling off that fire, isn't there?
We had that crackling already. Well, it'll have the house well aired up now for the night, so it will.
So would the fire be going while the storytelling is on?
Oh, it would, yeah. The fire's kept going. Oh, it would.
So if you're sitting up there, that you get scalded.
Yeah, scalded. Well, there's a big board there for put in front of them if they're keep it back. Oh, no, you know.
It throws a fantastic heat, doesn't it?
It would, yes. I can't beat open fire. But it wouldn't be easy to keep fired and hood that all day.
No, I wouldn't think so. No, because you've got quite a bit of timber in that.
A lot of timber.
Yeah. It's great though, isn't it?
It sure would be, you know.
There's a circular hole at the right-hand side of the fireplace, just beside the crane itself. What was that for, Jim?
Well, when you're sitting at the bellows, blowing it, if anyone comes to the door, you can see out.
Is that what that was?
You don't have to get up.
It goes right through the wall.
Right through the wall, you see, and so that you don't have to get up from the fire then for to see out.
And of course, I suppose back then too, there would have been a half door there with us as well. Or
there was always a half door on us.
Yeah.
You know, for the other, I don't know what the idea, whether to keep in the chickens or to keep in the young lads. I don't know which I'd say.
Probably keep children in, animals children. Out, and, yeah. then you can still see outside what's
see
going
outside,
on.
Outside, yeah.
We were talking about then your life in the village, and then you went away for a while and came back.
I came back.
And, I mean, when you were going to school, at what stage did you leave school at?
I left school at 13. Yeah. So I did. I went until I was 13. But then, once I come to about 12, I was often kept at home then for to work out, because my father was a postman. He was a postman for 63 years. And no pension either.
No pension there for the postman, no?
But not when he retired. And I think that he was getting a penny a week for the bike maintenance, or not a shilling a week,
shilling
a week, penny a day, or thereabouts. Yeah. A shilling a week. I often remember him saying that.
And his legs provided the fuel for free to make the bike go.
Oh yeah.
And did you want to be a postman?
No, I didn't want to be a postman. No. Although I often had to do the post at Christmas time, because my father getting on in years, and you'd have to go with him and you'd go to the far away places, you know, down the fields or down the bogs, as we call them, you know, maybe miling off the road, and I'd do the far away ones, and you go off there with a Christmas card. I often felt like burning it. But I never did. I always delivered it.
Post had to be delivered.
Oh, it had to be delivered. And he went, he was on the post when he was going to school. He used to do the school, I'd do the post first and come back to school then. And then that he used to be bottling stout in the conies.
When he was a young lad?
Well, after when he was a young lad.
And he would have delivered the post then by, was it by pony and cart?
Oh, no.
On
the
bicycle as well?
Walk.
Oh, walking then?
Walking then. Walking, and then they got the bicycle, and that's why he was getting a shilling a week, and wouldn't keep the wing. But they were all happy with that. A 10-stone bag of flour that time, I think, was 21 shillings.
And how long would that last?
Well, sure, there'd be a few people, maybe, yeah, be over it, and all the, you know, neighbours.
Yeah.
And they'd give him maybe half a stone of flour over it. He'd always buy a 10-stone bag of flour. I would, and that lasted maybe a month or thereabouts.
Was that a regular occurrence that neighbours would borrow from each other?
They would, yeah, regular thing. You know, if you got some milk or be bread or be flour or thing like that, but again, back, they'd come back with it, like, you know.
And would there have been, I mean, you mentioned too about maybe the half door on this cottage originally would have been the baby to keep children in and animals out. So would every household have had their own chickens or livestock?
Well, they all had their own, a lot of them have their own chickens. They'd be setting the hens that time, and then they'd have cocked chickens, and they'd be going around the yard, and next thing that they'd be gotten, maybe sometimes they get an old hen would be losing the feathers, and she'd be fat, and she'd be brought in and put in the pot, made soup on. Underwood.
Did you have to do those sort of things around the house, helping out with not only delivering the post, but what sort of chores would you have to do as a young person?
Well, a lot of chores that you'd have to do, maybe bring in the cows and things like that. So you would, but then that you wouldn't have to do anything in the house much, because the woman of the house always wanted to do her own thing. She'd do the washing up, she'd do the all the washing, and she'd not any a big bat of clothes and a big pot on the fire. And you'd have to boil the pot, because the clothes would be boiling in the great big pot. And then we brought out then, and there'd be no washboard there, so washboard hanging on the wall there.
So that's the sort of washboard that would have been used.
And get that, and they'd have the red soap then and rub it on it, you know, and wash the shirts that way. And then be all ironed, and then collars would be all done and stiffened and thing and other sort of wood.
The men wouldn't do any of that, though, would they?
Oh, not. I wouldn't go near it. And the men and then I'd start on clothes. You know, there'd be an old clothes then, and then be patches taken off of them. There was nothing being wasted that time. Mother was very good at knitting and making clothes. Oh, there was nothing going to waste.
Everything had to be used, yeah.
Oh, everything had to be used.
And what are the things that you remember, I suppose, most clearly about those young days? What was your favourite time of the year, for example?
God, I'd say that the summertime was a favourite time of the year. And I often had to get up maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning, get out chattel on the road and bring them to an Ascarty fair.
In the summertime?
Yeah, well, in the summertime or the wintertime.
So you'd...
And you'd have to walk.
Walk the cattle from here to Enniscorthy.
Walk the cattle from here and stand. And remember where the Bank of Ireland is now, in front of that. And there's tiles down along there, and it used to be there in Derby. And you bring the cattle in there and wait there until somebody come and buy them. And maybe you'd have to bring them home. Walk them home again.
Well, you wouldn't do that on your own now, would you?
There'd be two of us.
And you'd be expected to sell them as well then?
I'd be expected to sell them then, and that you go get a cup of tea then someplace. Somebody wanted other, go get a cup of tea.
So you'd have been told what price to get for them?
Well, you'd be told, or you'd be asking around, you know. Well, I wouldn't be selling them, I'd be only driving them, like, you know. Luke would be older, like, and he was doing the selling.
But it was bad news if you had to bring them back, wasn't it?
It was bad news when it was a bad fair day when you'd have to bring them back.
How long would it take to drive cattle from here to Enniscorthy then? Because you're talking about different roads too, aren't you?
Well, it'd take the biggest part of 2-3 hours anyway. So they would.
Maybe 4 in the morning.
Yeah, well, you'd have to get them out of the field someplace.
Yeah.
And try and get them out. And that would be dark at that time. You'd have no light or anything. There'd be no flash lamps that time.
And I presume you wouldn't be the only one bringing cattle?
Oh, there'd be several farmers on the road with cattle.
So how'd you keep them all apart?
Well, the cattle that time were very quiet because they were well handled. You know, from the time they were a calf, they were reared on the bucket.
Ah, yeah.
And they were like our pets, they say.
They were used to being handled.
And used to be handled. So they were nearly all short horns that time.
Because all the milking would have been done by hand.
All the milking was done by hand, however milking. But there was no creamery or anything that time. So there wasn't.
So all the milk produced then was for local use?
All for to make your own butter. The butter and maybe the separate, well, there was no separating that time. They used to skim the milk.
What was that? Okay, I don't understand. What do you do when you skim milk?
That you leave the milk set in a big basin, big white basin or a bucket, till the cream would all come to the top and you skim off the cream and put that into a bucket then. And there's the dash churn.
Oh, that thing there is the churn, isn't it?
That's the dash churn.
For making the butter?
For making the butter. There's a dash in that. It's an old one.
So this is part of the collection you have here?
Part of the collection, bits and pieces. And there's, you see the little white can there, that you used to call that the milk can or little Tommy can.
The metal can that's there above us, yeah.
Yeah. You used to go get the little drop of milk in that, a couple of pints, however, you know, there's somebody come, you know, if they were selling a drop of milk or a thing like that.
Well, apart from making milk, or making perhaps butter and the rest, would anybody be making cheese?
There'd be no one making cheese that time. They wouldn't know how, I'd say. You know, they were all, nearly every farmer was nearly self-sufficient because he had his own potatoes. You went out in the springtime and you had to sow the potatoes and spread dung along in the furrows of the drills. And we had the horses.
So would it be unusual to have cheese in the house?
Oh, we never had a bit of cheese. It'd be very unusual. That'd be a tree on its own.
Yeah.
And sure, there wasn't much beef that time either. The only place you get beef maybe is at Christmas time. That's nearly all bacon.
Bacon and ham and...
You wouldn't be buying the ham because it'd be too dear. Yeah. You know, it's nearly all shoulder bacon that you'd be eating that time.
So even though you had your own cows, you'd be very hardly ever have beef.
You'd hardly ever have beef. You know, because the beef was only in the towns, and you wouldn't be in the town very often, because you'd have to go on a bike. But there was no beef in the village only at Christmas time.
So if people wouldn't slaughter cattle locally?
Oh, no, they wouldn't, no. Oh. Very, very rare, anyway, to hear tell of one being slaughtered.
Because the abattoirs then were in towns, were they, usually?
Well, the butchers, they say, they had a place for for a donut themselves. There weren't much factories that time. There was factories, but there weren't on a very small scale. Very small scale.
So hardly ever getting beef, except maybe. So Christmas, as you said, was the treat.
But there's no one kept a big lot of cattle that time anyway. I mean, the farmer had 8 or 9 cows, like he was counted a big farmer. I mean, 3 or 4 cows as much as anybody had that time.
All right, so when you were talking about driving cows to the market, how many would you be driving at a time?
Well, there could be 4 or 5.
Yeah.
They say there'd be years or coming 2-year-olds that had to be bringing in. And sometimes maybe you'd go to the mart and somebody would be out there buying a couple and you'd have to drive them home to be strangers, you know, and you bring them home. The money would be small for them too, you know.